And now a very different story about a leader under fire. Alpha Kappa Alpha, the nation's oldest black sorority, claims a 250,000 members nationwide. Their members can be counted in just about every profession, and thousands of them made an impressive sight wearing their signature pink and green colors when they converged on the nation's capital last year for their centennial convention. But now the sorority is attracting some unwanted attention. Barbara McKenzie, the international president of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Inc., has been slapped with a lawsuit by a group of her sorority sisters charging her with misuse of sorority funds, for example, by using funds to buy personal items and even commissioning a wax statue of herself. We wanted to know more about this, so we called Lawrence Ross. He's author of The Divine Nine, The History of African-American Fraternities and Sororities, and he's also a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, a black fraternity. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I think it might be helpful for people to understand just what role these black Greek letter organizations play in black college life and in the lives of the adults who have been participants in them.
Well, oftentimes they play an integral role, particularly on a college campus. They tend to be the center of social activity for most African-American students, whether or not you're talking about a predominantly white institution or a historically black college. A lot of the social events are centered around the activities of fraternities and sororities. And then also the community service events are centered around the activities of the fraternities and sororities.
I spoke to the international president, Barbara McKenzie, last year on this program when she was in town for the centennial celebration. Here's what she had to say about the role that these groups can play in the life of the community. Here it is.
We have to view the predominantly African-American fraternal organizations, and there are nine of us, no different than we view any other institution in our African-American communities. They were designed at the turn of the century, which was when we began to form, that one generation from slavery, most African-Americans in this country were not going to college. In fact, very few Americans were going to college. And so in concert with what was expected of them, these privileged students expected to not only educate themselves, but uplift the community.
And I think the other thing that's important to mention is that these relationships continue on into professional life, unlike perhaps sororities and fraternities for other groups where it's mainly a college experience for many people. These are lifelong, career-long connections.
One of the differences between, you know, predominantly white or other non-African-American fraternal organizations compared to ours is that they have the same fraternalism as African-American fraternities and sororities. However, they have the luxury of basically at the end of their college experience, things are done. For African-Americans, the meaning of actually wearing the letters is that your community then makes demands of you to be the leader that you say that you are. And so therefore, you continually, you know, work within the fraternity, work within the sorority, basically until you die.
And given that, how unusual is a lawsuit like this in this community of black Greek letter organizations?
Extraordinarily rare. But it's something you might see more and more of, because one of the things that our fraternities and sororities have to realize is that things are changing. You cannot continue to do the same business in the exact same way you actually used to. Particularly, you know, if we're going to talk about, you know, the age of Obama, you have to make sure that you are relevant in this new, you know, era, or people are going to start calling you on it. And that's what I think basically happened with the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. I mean, you have to really understand that this is not only just a complaint. This is something that these women had to pretty much resign themselves to being either ostracized from within the sorority or just basically their lives being made difficult because they're fighting for a principle and they're doing it outside in the public.
And this is, so you're saying this is a big deal. This is a very big deal for the people who brought the suit. Just to give some of the facts of the suit, the lawsuit alleges that the president, Barbara McKenzie, solicited a $375,000 salary when it's traditionally been an unpaid position. It says that the sorority credit card was used for personal items like jewelry and designer clothing. It says that she took out a $1 million life insurance policy. And of course, there's the now famous wax statue. She has responded saying that she won't comment on the suit other than to say that it is without merit and that the $900,000 was allocated by the board of directors to help defray overall expenses for the 2010 convention. What I hear you saying is that this might be part of a generational disconnect between the kind of conduct that perhaps older members might consider acceptable and that newer members might think is not.
Well, I don't even know if it's even generational. I think that you have the dichotomy between those folks who may be in the, you know, in the higher echelon, the board of directors and the leadership roles. And then you have your hardworking soror out there who's never going to make a dime from working for their sorority. And even if the suit is, you know, meritless, just the idea, for example, you know, the symbol for the wax statue for the current president, what do you say to the undergraduate, AKA, who is out there, you know, on a college campus, who may need money to continue on to go to her junior year or her senior year? I mean, it's really difficult to actually defend. And I think what happens is that we lose members who are hardworking, run-of-the-mill members who say, are my dues going to pay this?
Do you think there's some broader lesson here? I mean, we obviously don't know what the outcome of the suit is going to be. It still remains to be worked out.
Definitely broader lesson. Because one of the things that we got to realize is that if you're a, you know, just a regular member who's paying money in, and you see this type of activity going on, the expenditures of money on this high level, then when you make a discretionary decision about where to spend your money for the next year, then you may decide not to become a member of your own organization, and you may donate that money somewhere else. And particularly in a time where civil rights organizations, and, you know, include Black fraternities and sororities in there if you like, are now having to redefine what is actually making themselves relevant. I always say my book is called The Divine Nine, but we don't have a divine right to actually exist.
Lawrence Ross is the author of The Divine Nine, The History of African-American Fraternities and Sororities. He's a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, and he was kind enough to join us from our studios in Culver City, California. Lawrence Ross, thank you.
Thank you.
You can read the full statement by Barbara McKenzie, International President, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Inc., at our website, as well as other coverage of the story by NPR and others. Go to npr.org, click on Programs, and then on Tell Me More. There you can also find a transcript of our discussion. That's all part of the new npr.org.